anything for a while, so rather than go back into my back catalog of angsty rap I wrote as a teenager, I'm going to read something more recent that I wrote about writing angsty rap as a teenager.
All right.
I haven't been back since the day I got my diagnosis. I suppose it's because I'm over where I was by Head and Shoulders. This old fortress made of broken stone fills me with a closeness to the lonely little kid who couldn't see beyond his nose, his cause was hopeless. So he'd go away to be alone, and he transposed his cluttered, stuttered thoughts and his emotions to the pad whereon he wrote them, and to put him in the zone, he would write them in a flow to the beats on his phone. Not so much a poet like a purist would use the word, more like Watsky or Shinoda, but to him, the distinction blurred. Hip-hop was a music genre and rap a style of vocals, and how could it be either when the verse was never heard? This is where our battered young man's battle starts in earnest. Blessed or cursed with a brain that dealt with pain by getting further from the hurt, trying not to unearth it, which would be fine if I'd known the kind of mind I had to work with. So while the earth shook and the world took to driving in reverse, I found this old dirt nook where I could write my words. With each verse in the workbook, I tried to understand the purpose of the madness and the sadness that I had to hand. And so I made my stand. The fort had to be manned. And in its walls I had what my mentality demanded. The castle was my land, the world outside be damned. Magic language sat at my command.
Magic language set to my command. That's beautiful, thank you. Okay, Neil, next please.
She's back. Sorry, yeah. Okay, so this is just a few months old now. It's a little bit angsty and depressing, so I'm sorry, but okay. They say that I'm unlovable. As I stare into my mirror, I see why you wouldn't care. So what if I made you laugh and wonder what made me tick? Because I leave no impression on those that to me cannot compare. I fall in love in minutes, but when I fall out even quicker, it won't be your fault. Because I am the worst kind of beautiful disaster. The kind that has a broken heart that I mend myself with glue. It doesn't work as it should, I swear that's not on you. I wait for your love, but it doesn't come. But I still hope, even though I know you won't pull through. And why would you? You cannot tell my thoughts. I write them down in plain sight, and yet you still can't read my words. I think you want to care for me, but I won't let you in. Not consciously, but my guard is up. I dare you to see past the skin. My chest cannot bear the weight that you're putting on my soul. You expect too much from me, or do I give you so little I'm impossible to know? One day I swear I'll be better. I'll accept love in a place of obsession and greed. But by then your interests will waver, and you'll no longer long to know the girl that you see. But I am one solid entity. Without all of this, there is no me.
And can I check Shorter, please?
This is a little bit quite different from some of the things I have, and this was the one that was shortlisted for the Red Lion Arts Festival, so I'm like, woo, what am I at the moment? And it's all done, I do it. But I did have to perform the thing, so, and perform is the word for it. So anyway, off I go. It's from a kid to my kids to grandkids. From a kid to my kids to grandkids. From up in a swing to up in a swing to up in a swing. From egg in a cup to egg in a cup to egg in a cup. From tickles to tickles to tickles. From splash in the puddle to splash in the puddle to splash in the puddle. From lick the spoon to lick the spoon. To lick the spoon. From bubbles to bubbles to bubbles. From doing our wee-wees do your wee-wees? To do your wee-wees? From a peep at the moon. To a peep at the moon. To a peep at the moon. From a stone in the water. To a stone in the water. To a stone in the water. From crumbs for the robin. To crumbs for the robin. To crumbs for the robin. From tippy toes. To tippy toes. To tippy toes. From blow on the porridge. To blow on the porridge. To blow on the porridge. From sit on the stairs. To sit on the stairs. To sit on the stairs. To from I see the sea. To I see the sea. To I see the sea. From kiss it better. To kiss it better. To kiss it better.
We should all learn the words for that. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Should I have Neil, please?
It's called My Howling Friend. Get out of the dark before it's too late to even dream. Getting out of the dark is never easy, it seems. How high you must go to come down this far, and I've left my head ajar. And my soul now leaks out as I'm filling with this doubt. Will the pack ever know what I'm about? You see, I'm trapped in cages of unfulfilled dreams, and now the wolf, it comes to tear me apart, and my seams are so, it seems, to me, that my black dog snarls and dances with delight. It laughs and prances at all my mischances, and I try not to stir to put blood in its veins, but keeping still, it's all in vain. If I keep moving, will you leave me be? I have begged at you to leave me alone, and I've already agreed to never sit on the throne, but still, forever you bite, you snarl, and in this dark I hear your howl. Each of your teeth has ripped the flesh from my bones, and your tongue has tasted my sweet blood. And I know you could end it all with one quick snap if you ever hear your master's call. And I respect you for this, but I too demand it back, for you will not stalk and prowl forever at my back. Yes, there are days that I let you walk beside me, and there's others that I let you choose the pace, but you cannot mistake this for weakness, for I will never forget the days that I have lived in bliss. I have put out my hand before without fear, to only feel your gentle lick, and I cuddled into your once bloody muzzle as we stared at this broken puzzle, so I would allow you to be by my side as I pick up the pieces of my flesh to go on with this, to replace myself back into the stream forever in this dream. And I would allow you to be by my side as I pick up the pieces of my flesh to go on with this, to replace myself back into the stream forever in this dream. And I will allow you to be in the company of my stride, and when you nip on my heels, I will walk with further pride, revealing the scars to every once dead and reborn star, for you do not conceal me. And the shadow can only be revealed by the light, and I know you may keep me in your sight, but know this, it is not you who hunts. For I see you so clear, my dear, and I am not hiding, my friend. I welcome you in to take me down as we survive on this sacred ground, and in turn I will lay you down to rest and go on with living. I remember where you keep, I remember where you sleep, and I keep this in my mind, and in mind as you lay in a slumber, I hear screams flow to a murmur. And if you weep as I sleep, together we count these dear sheep. For I know that you are not in their clothing, for you are the naked truth, and your breath is with the moon and the stars, and only light, the sun, and this sun, can bring you to existence. So I am naked in your lair, and we stare. Our eyes meet, there's one for the truth and one for the lie, and in this gaze we see through the haze. We smile now, for we are friends, and we journey to better days.
Please.
This is one from my back pages. It's called See How They Fly. My thoughts are all off on a tangent with eccentric music and blades that slice unevenly. No worry about that. I am surprised they cut it all. I put on incense, my thoughts soar on the smoke trails, and enlarge to fill the room and bring this poem to you. It isn't easy, you know, being up on the stage when you are both performer and audience. Try being original in this situation, or even more so, being surprising. I can pick up a loose thread and pull it hard. It leaves me naked and alone with my wreckage around me.
And Lisa, next piece, Lisa.
This is very short. It's in Italian. It's about my idea of happiness today. Essere rotonda, orizzontale, con un vago bisogno di starnutire, una leggera fame, un vuoto elettrico di pianura, un ascolto assoluto. So in English it goes something like being round and horizontal, with a vague urge to sneeze and a slight hunger and an electric void like playing.
Thank you so much. Can Patricia Walsh, please?
Gas in the correct flurries. What you wanted to say, a given rule. Can't you see it right in the proper order? The craving snowflakes never left second on the concrete. Snow on a side, the warmth of weather soiled asunder. Saying that you love me doesn't wash anymore. As I collect my thoughts in literature, down by the fire is Tom Barry's Pete's Aside. Residual warmth is temporarily mine. Seeming odd, nonetheless, taking up a barrage of seats. Walking through ice, mere punishment for some, so spitting animation is declared like a mantra. Some extra layer does the world of ill. Walking through the satisfaction for its own reward, pigeonholed in a punishment of structure. No more hints on exams. Falling in love with the geek at the table, knowledge extricated. I noticed that what hurt was dutifully employed, declaring a haste that can only resonate to the merciful employed, this archaic ploy. Watching through snowfall, dying on the ground, twiddling by numbers at a huge number to crunch, stockpiling wishes before the flood comes, skulking into bedrooms before the evening is out, snuggling indoors while heated, rested, fed.
Charles Platt next.
I'm just going to read something from a book. Passage from Pursuit of Italy by David Gilmour, History of Its Land, Grief and Stevens. It's about the Italian family. I think the paragraph is worthwhile, mostly lifted from elsewhere, but it's worthwhile. The benefits of belonging to an Italian family far outweigh its drawbacks. In his book, La Bella Figura, Beppe Severnini enumerated them, starting with the family as a bank, lending its children money without interest, for buying cars, homes, and holidays. Next, it is a form of insurance coverage with no policy to sign, and an employment agency that allows children to inherit their parents' professions. Two-fifths of Italian dentists and half of the engineers have simply taken over from their fathers. So long as the children are qualified, this may not matter. But nepotism is a problem in universities and medical schools, where supposedly open composite competitions are regularly won by relatives of senior figures in the departments. in 1908 at the University of Palermo, 2008, 230 teachers were relatives of other teachers. Some of the benefits traditionally offered by the family have been eroded by modernity and contemporary life. It was easier, as Severini pointed out, for the family to be a residential care home in a farmhouse than in a city flat, though many Italians still manage to live very near their parents. The family also used to be a restaurant where you didn't have to reserve a table. But now, that mama no longer spends 7 hours a day in the kitchen, as she did in 1950, it is a sort of snack bar where you can always get something to eat. Yet it remains a dormitory. When you're at university, average age of graduation 28, and a bachelor pad for those with between relationships. Half of Italy's parents still live with adult children.
Thank you so much. Mayor O'Connell, next piece.
Thanks, Philip. This is called First Love. Aged 10, she was diligent and shy, not as boisterous as the others. She hardly noticed him at first. Then she heard Vera's urgent whisper, "Look behind you." There he was on the far side of the room, making the faintest signal with his hand, a sort of half-formed wave. It couldn't be for her. She swiveled back, went on with her songs. Now, as minutes passed, she dared to look again. Yes, he was there, smiling across, looking steadily in her direction. Her throat grew tight. The familiar smell of chalk tickled her nose. Her stomach did a funny somersault. Could this be love? Later, she discovered her mother knew his dad. Back in her younger days, when they went to dances in the village hall, or sometimes out sailing in his boat. This revelation gave her courage. Each day she looked out for his smile. They never spoke, but just by being there, he gave the class a crystal energy. She didn't want the holidays to come. But come they did. Yet she was glad to go back to the coastal village that she loved. One day, when bringing home the milk fresh from the udder of a neighbor's cow, she found her mother waiting at the door. "You're invited on a sailing trip with Tige, his son, and all the family." It couldn't be. She spun round on her heel. So he was here. They'd sail. She'd have to speak. A cold shock hit her spine, broke in on her dream. She'd need to step down from the pier, something safe and solid, trust herself to water and the boat. The ocean beckoned, but it seemed too deep.
Column, please.
So this is a poem for anybody who's ever wondered what it's like to be a cup of tea. It's called Camel Mind, Be the Tea. As I sit and watch my tea and dissipation of its steam, the seemingly endless expanding of its inherent energies. I'm struck by its similarity to me. How I sit so full of warmth, yet seemingly endless, exhausting streams of could-have-beens and what-might-not-quite-bes are elongated and exuded, endlessly issued out of me. As I create and spend them, I slowly lose my heat. As these phantoms erupt and rise, still unchanged, here I stand. I am left cooler than before and thirsting for a grasping hand. As my vapors spill and rise and commune with the air of day, I dissolve into and become it. This is not the only way. I may be held by higher creatures into which I'll be imbibed, but if not, well, no matter. Without this hope, I will not die. Far beyond it lies the ether, endless possibilities beyond. Acceptance, it is not my purpose. To simply be has made me fond. Will my contents be tossed in a drain or emptied into a garbage pile? Or will I become part of a higher order creature metabolized by the divine? Thank you.
That was enriching. Thank you. Can I check in Carson, please?
Quite a night. Quietly, nightly, shadows day, eyes surprise, that dark encompassing way. The big bang of the universal, twist and shout, echoes called time's past or about. Space more than missing lines, which form joined dots, mapping constellations, each to spots. Shooting stars, bursting our seams, exploding visions of unknown dreams, casting reeling bright light, reflecting quite a night.
This is a poem called Speckled Tomcat. I walked you home that night from the Munster Hotel on Coburg Street. It was wet and windy. You had a brolly, I hadn't. You lived on Lansdowne Terrace at the top of Patrick's Hill. There were 78 steps on the way up. I counted them all. You lived alone except for a speckled tomcat. I didn't like the way he glared at me, knowingly. What would you like, you asked, after we had settled in. You, I answered, shivering on the sofa. That'll do so, you said, switching off the electric kettle. There's hardly anything in the press. It was a long trek up here, and it'd be longer going down, I guess. You deserve it, I suppose. Now you might as well get out of those wet clothes.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Come on, throw on next, please. A quiet word winner.
Called Man Before Bed Contemplates Capitalism. Thought I wouldn't be up at that hour. 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 I'ma fucking kill it. I'm a run with this cup till I spill it. You silly fuckers, look around as though this were a game, and act as you will, as a robot feels no shame, expecting, wink, nudge, and flexing, and texting, closed circuit, wondering which hook you'll be let off next. Soft pressed and steady shaking, obsessed and much mistaken. You are always biting and never seen fighting. As slippery as your slippery friends, all feasting on your own bait. For your own sake, executing actions early and drawing plans up late. And you know no escape from the looping tape of self-fulfilling prophecy. Pawn shop democracy. And guess who's sliding across the table to serve your shotgun hypothesis? Couldn't have you paying VAT on me, go fuck off and die. Choke on your bedtime tea. And don't talk to me about death, cunt. Don't talk to me about death as though you didn't know the cause. Obedient dogs of war that offer you their paws. Don't talk to me about death as though it were a mystery, when it's the only thing we've ever known for sure. Murder merchants, and I feel it coming. Cunning and grief, never alone. And you thought we wouldn't call you out, you fucking capitalists. I'm the shoe print on the face of your friends. I'm the piss stain on the face of your mother, you who thinks it's all a game. I'm starving as you quote to strangers on how they should feel shame. Thank you.
So that's it for tonight. Thank you so much for coming out. So I'll do one small one. Very short. The end of this poem is a secret. Secret. As fragile as a helicopter seed, a soft white albino moth dances its own silent motor and can't decide to land on the ear's helix or the skin behind or fly into the drum and kiss whisper of a... Thanks. Thank you so much for coming. I want to give one more big round of applause to Chia Callahan.